Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Keehan. Today we'll discuss the article by Francois et al. Titled, Carbohydrate Restriction with Post-Meal Walking Effectively Mitigates Postprandial Hyperglycemia and Improves Endothelial Function in Type 2 Diabetes. This article was published October 13, 2017. Joining me today are consulting editor Nisha Charkoudian, first author Monique Francois, and content expert Sushant Ranadive. Let's get started.
Thanks, Kara. For people with type 2 diabetes, it is a constant struggle to balance the right combinations of foods with the right types of exercise, particularly when the idea of exercise isn't inherently fun for everyone. People with diabetes need to try to avoid postprandial hyperglycemia, or the spike in blood sugar that occurs after a meal, which occurs especially if the meal is high in carbohydrates. One of the dangers of hyperglycemia is its effects on blood vessel function, specifically on the ability of the endothelium to cause vasodilation. In the present study, Francois et al. Evaluated the effects of post-meal walking exercise and a low-carbohydrate diet on vascular function in people with type 2 diabetes. Monique, could you tell us a little more about the study design and summarize your major findings for us?
So the aim of this study was to see if a low-carbohydrate diet, which we know lowers postprandial hyperglycemia, would also affect vascular function. So in particular, we wanted to see if exercising after the meals would improve vascular function. Low-carbohydrate diets are highly effective at lowering blood glucose. So for example, over the 4 days on a low-carbohydrate diet, postprandial glucose was lowered by about 90% with this diet. So the low-carbohydrate diet was less than 10% of carbohydrate, but we also know that low-carbohydrate diets are often high in fat. And especially when high-fat and high-carbohydrate meals are combined, this also impairs endothelial function. Exercise has strong effects on vascular function, and we know that exercise can improve endothelial function, both in the post-exercise period and also after meals. So the aim was to see if this combined exercise and low-carbohydrate diet would lower postprandial glucose and also improve vascular function. So patients with type 2 diabetes were recruited to complete 3 interventions. So this was 4 days following the low-carbohydrate diet, 4 days following the same low-carbohydrate diet, but also completing 15-minute walks after each meal. And then this was compared to a diet which is traditionally recommended by the diabetes guidelines, a moderate carbohydrate diet. We found that only the low-carbohydrate and post-meal walking exercise improve endothelial function. And so this was measured by flow-mediated dilation of the brachial artery. Interestingly, endothelial microparticles, which are indicators of cell activation or vascular injury, was only improved with the low-carbohydrate diet alone. Although there was a trend for lowering endothelial and platelet microparticles with the combination of the low-carbohydrate and exercise recommendations.
Thank you. Those are really exciting findings. Can you tell us from a layperson's perspective, how are these findings helpful to an average person with type 2 diabetes? For example, sometimes people who have diabetes are concerned that their blood sugar might go too low. Do you think that was a concern with the study design that you used?
It's important to note that the patients that we used in this study were mostly treated with metformin, so the oral anti-hypoglycemic medication. They were not being treated with insulin or sulfonylureas as insulin analogs. And so the combination of exercise, metformin, and diet has been shown to not lead to hypoglycemic episodes. However, this was only a 4-day intervention, and other long-term studies using low-carbohydrate diets have shown that patients do need to go off these medications because their glucose control is getting better. So the 15 minutes of walking after meals, we know, was just a low to moderate intensity. And so this facilitated a greater fat oxidation as opposed to lowering glucose per se. But as the combination of these post-meal walks and the low-carbohydrate diet, there was no reports of hypoglycemia in the participants that we studied.
Interesting. Sushant, could you tell us from your experience doing research in blood flow control mechanisms, what strikes you the most about this study?
Firstly, Monique, it was a great study. And in my thought, as I read it, I felt like it was a nice approach to a study. So they did this low-carb diet looking at a chondrite artery function, then going to the endothelial microparticles. It's so early on that there is no correlation justified and the sample size is too low. But this sets up a nice stage going into these microparticle versus chondrite artery and then looking at the mechanisms of how these small interventions could make big changes on macro level and then on the micro level. Then this also builds, this study really builds really well on some of the early work that was done by Dr. Canali's lab looking at resistance exercise, post-meal and pre-meal diet. So Monique and her group has looked at aerobic exercise. So now this sets up another stage looking at different exercise structures. A resistance exercise typically showed similar stuff. Monique's study has shown similar stuff. So that was a very, very striking and a good component coming into it. And the last one that I thought was excellent was the study approached it more so in a lifestyle changes approach rather than just drugs. And they have a nice blurb in the discussion talking about how much effect does a drug have on some of these effects versus what they did with the lifestyle modification. They controlled for meals based on the energy expenditure. So all of that, it was a really, really well done study, even from a blood flow perspective. And it's exciting to see what would happen in this chain of thoughts.
Thank you, Sushant. That struck me as well, too, that the 15-minute exercise as a lifestyle intervention is something that would be very feasible for a lot of people. So even people who don't necessarily like to exercise might be able to see this as this research progresses, see this as something that's actually accessible to them. Along those lines, Sush, could you tell us how this research would affect or alter your advice or guidelines that you might give to a friend or relative who has been diagnosed with type 2 diabetes?
I think the easiest answer is eat in moderation and exercise all the time. But now, in general, I think the best thing coming out of the study in this regard is that as long as we can go moderate on carbohydrate or low on carbohydrate, and then again, Monique's study has looked at low carb, high fat. There are studies looking at low carb, high protein. So essentially suggesting that as long as we go low carb and we can even go high fat, that is what the study is bringing out because, you know, in the introduction, they mentioned that how people have been aversive of high fat diets. And they have addressed this issue that giving high fat and low carb is not such a bad thing, you know, when we look at this. So considering it from that perspective, I would say as long as we could go low carb, high fat or high protein and exercise pre and post, and it's exercise timing that would matter. So just doing it once in the morning and then sitting and watching television is not going to solve this issue. We have to be always active. And that's what this study is bringing out, that post-meal, you need to put in some activity. You can't just say, I have worked out an hour in the morning and that's it.
Right. I think that's an important point. Monique, would you like to follow up on that in terms of just kind of general guidelines or advice for friends or family that you might share in that kind of setting?
Yeah, so it's clear from my work that both diet and exercise are important for the treatment of diabetes. We know that exercise has pluripotent effects for both cardiovascular and metabolic health. It's clear that a low carbohydrate diet significantly lowers hyperglycemia. So I would definitely recommend reducing carbohydrate consumption and also exercising regularly. But it appears that exercising close to meals is an important time to prevent these post-meal both glucose and lipid spikes after people with diabetes eat. And that we know that exercising after meals has strong effects of vascular function as well. The type of exercise best prescribed with a low carbohydrate diet is still unknown. I think as long as we time it around meals, this will improve postprandial metabolism. We also know that exercise intensity is important, so this is another area that requires further investigation.
Almost always with such cases of either diabetes or hypertension, typically we see a lot of issues with the resistance vessels before something sets into chondrite arteries. So have you thought about doing it more from, you know, resistance or microvascular dysfunction perspective as opposed to just sticking to chondrite artery function?
Yeah, that's a great question. And especially with the fluctuating glucose, this appears to really affect the microvascular function. We didn't have the capacity to measure microvascular function, but that's definitely something that we've considered, especially when looking forward to longer term studies and seeing how this affects both macrovascular and microvascular outcomes.
Interesting. Thank you. And looking at endothelial microparticles, can you drop down into the microRNAs? Because if the cargo is affected with endothelial microparticles, we would assume that there is something going on with the pro or anti-atherogenic microRNAs in the background. You know, interesting thing you got was low carb plus exercise suddenly shot up some of these. So could microRNAs address that issue, you think?
Yeah, definitely. And people are really starting to get into this area. So looking at what's actually inside these microparticles and how that affects their function. Also what these microparticles express on their cell surface. So we did start to look at tissue factor expression and how this affects the, especially the monocyte platelet aggregates. But we really didn't have the technology or the large enough samples to be able to delve into this area. But this is certainly something that would be an interesting area for the future.
Great. Well, I'd like to thank Monique and Suj for joining us for this AJP Heart podcast today and contributing some very interesting information that has a lot of relevance for people with type 2 diabetes. Thank you.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology podcast. For more podcasts like this, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.